so that's good. And I can say that, you know, not too many people can say that. It's offensive otherwise, but good news, right? We're going to have fun next Saturday. Let's do that. And that fits in really well with some of the things that we're going to share in the Word of God today. Wow, that's good. I'm going to pray. We just need to pray today. We're going to spend a little time praying. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that we can be here to worship you and that we're family. And that we're joined together by the bond that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Thank you for the fun that we can have. Thank you for the laughter that's already happened even before the service, just listening to people laughing and enjoying themselves and hugging. And thank you for fellowship, and we know how important that is. And we just pray that we will become the church you want us to be, and that we will build your kingdom and not our kingdom. And our proclamation will be that Jesus is Lord. I pray, God, that more and more we'll see that people just call on the name of the Lord and that they're saved, just as your word says. And thank you, Lord, that you are equipping us with the power of your Holy Spirit and with that spirit of Pentecost, so that we have the gifts to do what you call us to do, that you never send us out to go into battle ill-prepared. You give us everything we need, and we have every gift. And every single person is the soldier and a warrior and needed and is necessary in this body. So just build us up, God. We know that there are so many things going on in the world right now. We want to pray about that. And just reminded this week, Lord, that the reason why you sent the flood, there's only one word that you said. There's only one thing that really set you off, and you said it was because of the violence. Because of the incredible violence of that time. And, oh God, you know that we're living in a time of great violence, a time when children are being killed for the sake of religion, and when people are showing complete intolerance, and all they want to do is just kill everybody who isn't like them. And we live in a time when people are taking up arms, and that the arms that people have are scary. They have great power and great weaponry. And we're crying out to you today, Lord, for your peace. And we're crying out for you to intervene, because there's no one who can do anything about this but you, Lord. And I just pray for that. We pray for that, God. We pray that you would move in the hearts of men, and you have a way of using these kinds of horrific events, and you've done this throughout history, to draw people to yourself, that we stop leaning on ourselves, stop thinking we can do anything, and we recognize our absolute and dire need for Jesus Christ. May that be the case. May you bring good out of evil, like you say in your word, and may you redeem the times, Lord. Redeem the times, because the days are evil. Thank you, Lord, that you do that. We just think of those who are suffering. We think today about those many thousands of people that are on that mountain and who are in between death and sure death. And that, Lord, you'll just intervene for them and save them and spare them and show them that you are a God who loves them. Your love, oh Lord, is higher than the mountains, like we sang. Your love, Lord. Your love. And we need to see that, and they need to recognize it. So we just pray for that, God. And we pray for our own community, too, that we'll continue to make new inroads, and that love that you've shown to us will be a love that flows from us to other people, too. Pray for the kitchen and for the work that Chris is doing there, and Mary and Mo and Arlene and Charlie and other people, Lord, many, many people who are there, Joycelyn, on a regular basis. Lord, let that be a starting place for people to come to trust the people who are working there, trust us as Christians, and that we build those relationships, Lord, and that they really do come to that point in their lives where they call on the name of Jesus and that they're saved. And Lord, there's some of us, some people are here today that have gone through a hard thing, going through addictions, going through real struggles, but we're in the right place today. Your peace is in this place, and this is a place of new beginnings. So I thank you for that, and I pray that you will confirm that in everyone's heart this morning. This is where you are. Your presence and your spirit is in this place. And we come to make amends. We come to repent today. We come to find you, to draw near to you. And we just trust you, Jesus, that you are right where you say you are. That all we need to do is ask and seek and knock, and you reveal yourself. You're such an amazing God. So I thank you, Lord. And I could name names today, God, but I don't need to do that. I know though, there are some people here that haven't been here for a while, or maybe they've never even been to church, but they're here because you've called them. Just show yourself, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Reveal your love and your power. Show us, God, that you have such a better way for our lives. That when we surrender to you, that all that stuff, all that brokenness, all the things that chain us to the darkness, that your light can just fragment that, and that we can walk into your victory. We bless your name, Lord. There's a few people here that just need a special blessing, Lord, and you know who they are. And some people have had some really hard struggles, Lord. And we just remember them today, too. Be with the sick. Be with Doreen. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to walk with her, be close to her, God. I pray for Gary Jackson, and I pray for Roger in the hospital, that you'll continue to give them healing, Lord, according to your plans and according to your purpose. For Warren, we lift up Warren today, and we ask you to bless him. I ask you, Lord, to just heal him and keep him walking with the power and with the mind, Lord. He has the mind of Christ because he's got the attitude of Christ, and we're thankful for that. Thank you that Luis had successful gallbladder surgery, and we prayed for him this week. Remember him, God. Thank you that things are going much better there. And Lord, we pray for the people at the camp, at Camp Living Water. We think of Dave and Marilise, and for Sonny, and Lord, for all the others who are there too. Lord, use these people and use the camp itself to touch so many lives. We think of all the native children that are there, and we pray that this will be such a powerful time in their lives, that they will repent and turn to you. And Lord, we pray for great things to happen. And for those who are leading and cooking and dealing with all the things that are going on, give them patience and give them strength, Lord. Give them the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can be so connected to this camp. And we ask, Lord, that great things will come of it. We believe that. We believe that we do it because your word never comes back to you empty. That the seeds that are planted always produce a great crop because you are faithful. Thank you, Lord. It's great to be here today. We need to be here. And we're so grateful that your amazing grace has touched our lives. That we're not here because we deserve it or we want it or because we were good people. We're here because your grace has called us out of darkness. And we have been just as lost as anyone. That we are completely lost without Jesus. And we just come to praise and worship you. And Lord, so thankful today that with your church, with your universal church, we join in and eat and drink and remember and believe the blood and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. As we open your word, speak clearly and let it just touch and penetrate our hearts. Right now, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd soften our hearts. We sometimes come in here and we've got our whole agenda, or we had a fight already today, or our hearts have been hardened, we haven't been close to you. But you can change all that right now, Spirit of God. And so we pray, Spirit of God, to just touch our hearts. Make it soft and make it moldable. Make us clay in the hands of the potter. We ask this in the powerful name of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. One thing I'm going to ask you to pray for today, and I'm not going to use any names because it's just not necessary, I guess, at this point. But we have one of our people from our church who had a real tragedy this week. And it's just one of those, you know, I've been in a ministry for over 30 years, and I've been everything from suicides to accident to this, and all kinds of terrible things have happened. But this is about as bad as it gets. He was working on an acreage, and there was a mom there with her little 4-year-old boy, and she was taking care of the boy. And he asked her if everything's okay, and everything was okay, and he was driving his truck back and forth and back and forth. And somewhere in the middle of all of that, this little 4-year-old boy kind of got away, or she didn't see what was happening, and he ran over this little boy. He backed up, he didn't see him at all, and the boy died. So this is someone who's from our church, and I think just for his own privacy, it's not important that you know his name. That may come clean or clear sometime, and that's fine if it does. He didn't ask me not to say his name, but I don't have his permission to say his name. But you know, I can't even hardly imagine anything worse happening. It's kind of about as awful of a thing that there's been some things that God's worked out of that. He had an opportunity to pray a number of times while they're waiting for the ambulance to come, and the mom and the dad you know, they are struggling. You can see that, and they're not believers. But just pray for them and pray for that family. Will you do that? And I don't have anything else to say about that. It's just awful. It's just so hard. Let's read in Acts chapter 2 as we open God's Word. We've been looking at the importance of the Spirit-filled church, you know, and if we're going to be a church that's going to make any difference in this world, if we're going to make a stand for Christ, we need to have the power of the Holy Spirit, and thank God we do. I mean, His Spirit is available for us. The question is, are we availing ourselves of Him? Are we allowing the Spirit to move? Or do we have things, you know, all preconceived? Because I think we do that sometimes in our lives. And we're fighting a war. And I think we're starting to realize that. We've been talking about this for a long time. There's a lot of awful things going on in the world. And there's a lot of awful things happening in Red Deer. But unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will have no power. We won't have direction. We won't be able to move. We won't know how to move. We won't know where to go. And unless we have the full equipment, we go into battle ill-equipped and ill-prepared. We need every single person. I can't say this, you know, enough. I can't say this more clearly, maybe. But we need every single person. The church, Christ's church, needs every single person to be using the gifts of the Spirit that you've been given. And the reality and the truth is that God endows you. He gives you gifts. If you think, I don't have a gift, you're wrong. Or you're not a Christian. And that might be true. You should think about that one. But God gives you gifts. He says, this is what you can do. Here's your voice. Here's your hand. You're the hand of the church. Or you're the one who's on your knees. You're praying. You know, there's all these different gifts. We need to learn to put it together. And the problem, and we're going to talk about this a bit today, but the problem in the church today, in the church, especially in the Western world, is that we walk alone. We do our own thing. We go to church, but we're anonymous. We don't really want to be known. We don't want to mesh our gifts together. We just want our own thing. And even things like ministry, you know, people talking about, I have my own ministry. I have my own ministry. You know, there's something nice about that. There's something scary about that. And you should know that. You know, everyone having their own ministry. You don't really have your own ministry. We should stop talking that way. We share the same ministry. You know, we are one church. And it's become accepted. We all nod our heads when people say that. It's really not acceptable. We are one ministry. We're one church. We work together. We work together. Yeah, for Him, right? Okay, so I want to just read. And I want you to notice as we start here today that just kind of what I said last time, that when you talk about the power of Pentecost, and we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and if you weren't here last week, we talked about the gift of tongues. And you've probably been waiting for 5 years for me to talk about it. Well, you missed it. But It was there. We talked about tongues, and it's on. If you want to hear I think these are all recorded. You can tear it apart later if you like. But you know, it really has to do with the all-inclusive nature. And I want to start with that. That when we talk about the Spirit of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming, that this is all-inclusive. That everybody was involved in this, and we start reading about that in Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to touch on a few things and then get to the part we're going to get to. But it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. Right? And then later on, that the fire separated and came to rest on each of them, and that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's about Pentecost all, if you want to remember it that way. Right? It's all. Everyone has the Holy Spirit. Everyone's included. It wasn't like, you know, there were 120 believers and there were 40 of them that got all fired up. No, they all got fired up. They all spoke in the languages that needed to be heard on that day. The Holy Spirit came and poured out upon His church, upon everyone. And everyone needs to be included. If you look at what Peter preached, just turn the page or whatever it is in verse 17. Peter addresses the crowd. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit, what? On all people. On all people, yeah. Everybody, not just the Pentecostals or the Baptists, you know, all the people. I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people, he says. And then look, he describes that, or he shows us the picture of that. He says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, even on those people who work for you, those slaves or those servants, the doulas they're called, Even on them I will pour out my spirit, on both men and women, and they will prophesy. And he goes on. You understand where we're starting here? That this is about everyone's included. Everyone's an important part of it. We're a community. And he pours out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. All. There's no more. That's the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is there's no more dividing lines. Paul talked about that too, right? There's no more Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised. There's no more male or female. We're all one. Amen? We're all one in Christ. Doesn't matter what race you come from. Doesn't matter what gender you are. Doesn't matter how rich or how poor you are. He pours out his Spirit on all people. On all people. And that leaves it. I know some of you are going, you go back and, wow, what does that mean for me? Because I always thought that he only poured his Spirit on Pastor Stan. You know? Or on, you know, someone else. This is a very personal message. This means that God pours out his Spirit on you. Yeah, he doesn't leave anybody out. Preach it, brother. Now today, here's where we want to get to. And you're going to find as we go through this, and I don't know where we're going. I believe that God knows where we're going. But we're going to go back and forth a bit. And I think that's a good way to preach through Acts or however far we go. Verse 42. Under the heading of Fellowship of Believers, where we have this little commune. And it describes what the very, very early church was like. And here we go. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to eat together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Don't you love that part? The Lord added to their number daily. Oh God, may that be true here. May that be true of your church, not just here, but of your church in general, your universal church, that you're adding to your number daily because we're faithful. In a lot of ways, what we have here is a recipe for revival. And there's four things that, you know, he starts off. This is what they did. Here's what they devoted themselves. That's a particularly important word in the Greek language. They were devoted to this. They were intent on this. Their hearts were joined in this. They were devoted to the apostolic preaching or to the apostolic teaching. That's the first thing. To fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Those are the four recipes for revival. We're not going to get through all of them. We're going to talk today about a couple of them. One, the apostolic teaching, and we're going to talk about fellowship, and then we're going to actually enjoy the breaking of bread together, and we'll see where it goes from there, okay? Just before I put my Bible down, you need to understand, too, that there's two kinds of breaking of bread in this four or five verses that we read. When we have the four different things listed together, you know, the apostolic teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread, he's talking in that instance particularly about coming together for the Lord's Supper. This is the breaking of bread that we do. But later on, when he talks about the fellowship, he says, and they met in each other's homes, and they broke bread together. That's not necessarily having Lord's Supper together. It's just having a meal. It's just having fellowship. And it's important you understand that, because it's kind of where we're going, all right? So we'll start with, you know, again, from the point of view that we are all a part of this, and that God includes everyone. And he says, here's what happened with the early church. They were this unique, close-knit community, probably unlike anything that we've ever experienced even since, and really not presented to us as if this is a model that we should continue to follow. You know, I don't think God's saying in his word, here's how I planted the church, here's how I want it always to be. I want you always just to live together, and whatever you have, everyone has. It's not necessarily a model given to us here that says, here's how we should always be. What it really is it's God saying, this is the incubator. This is the first early stages of the church. This is what needs to happen at this particular time in this century, you know, for the church to grow and to flourish, and it really did. Not necessarily that we all need to live together. I know we could all live on Chad's farm maybe, and we could maybe pull this off, you know, we could all pool all our resources in one hat and, you know, share. Someone's got a motorhome, we'll take turns with it. But that's not really what's saying here, right? And churches have tried to do that, usually failing miserably. And as a matter of fact, you know, this model really didn't last too long for the early church. It lasted for a while, and I believe it was necessary for the incubation stage of the church to grow and flourish. And we're told that the church grew really quickly. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit and because everyone cooperated and worked together, there were literally thousands of people who were being added to their number daily. And from a practical point of view, the church started to change and to grow in other ways, where they started to meet more in other centers and in different cities and towns, which is why Paul wrote so many letters to, you know, different places like Philippi and Galatia and Corinth and so on, because that's where the church was being founded, in different communities. But one of the things that they devoted themselves to was the teachings of the apostles. And that is such a vital and important thing to just stop and think about. You know, they devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles. The apostles, aside from Judas, were all still there. And they're part of the beginnings of the early church. And they taught with the authority that only an apostle can teach with. They taught with the authority of God. Remember that they were eyewitnesses, right? Every single one of them, Peter and Matthew and James and John, they were eyewitnesses of Jesus. They were there when Jesus died. They were there through those years when Jesus taught them and gave them all the stories. There is something particularly unique and powerful about that kind of apostolic authority. And the people in the early church learned from those apostles. And they're the ones to whom the Holy Spirit gave the authority to record the New Testament, the Word of God. Amen? They were eyewitnesses. They were right there. They lived with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They recorded this. And in the early church, they spent time in the apostolic teaching, in that authoritative teaching of those apostles. And thank God, we have that. Amen? I mean, we have it right here. This is the Word of God. This is the apostolic teaching and the authority that's been given to us. And that doesn't mean there isn't other stuff that might be good to listen to once in a while, but this is the truth, all right? And the only thing that I know to be absolute truth. And we need to understand that when we are digging into God's Word, or when we're hearing a message that's really based on God's Word, it's what God's Word is saying, this is then God who's speaking. You understand? This is God who's speaking. It's God's Word. The problem is that nowadays, there's so much out there, so many messages that are being told that aren't Spirit-filled and are really not based or not connected to the Word of God at all. A lot of what's being spoken, a lot of teaching out there is not apostolic teaching. It's teaching that our itching ears want to hear. And it might be teaching that helps increase numbers in a church because we like to hear the things we like to hear, but it may not be the truth at all. A lot of teaching is teaching, even from big name speakers, a lot of teaching is teaching that's just based on the new book someone's about to write. Or maybe, and this is, I think, even harder or worse, it's teaching from that book someone's read and going, oh, I read this book and I want to preach about it. Man, stop preaching about books and start preaching about what the Word of God says. We need to have our connection only to one thing, and that's God's Word. Are there good books out there that are worthwhile reading? Yes, but that's not apostolic teaching. There's no authority there. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit. I'm saying this to all of you because many of you are teachers. Some of you are preachers. Preach the Word of God. Preach it in season and let the Holy Spirit move and direct you. I had a meeting this week with a guy who I've known for a long, long time, and he's a pastor in the States. We had breakfast this week, and he's about to take a call to a church, and he hasn't preached a lot. He was part of a bigger church in the States, and they let him preach once a year. So he wanted to ask me about preaching, and I wanted to be a better preacher, he said. I want to know how to preach better. I said, well, how do you do it? What do you, you know, how do you pray about it? And he's a gifted guy, a very gifted guy. And he said, well, I think I'm really well prepared because I know what I'm going to preach about 6 months from now. I've got it all kind of mapped out. And I said, well, he said, don't you do that? And I said, man, it's Wednesday. I don't even know what I'm preaching about Sunday. And that's really the truth. I don't know. Like, I wait and I listen to God. And sometimes I come here and I really don't know exactly even. But I just say, God, you just do what you want to do. And I said, how do you let the Holy Spirit move you? How do you know where your church is even going to be 6 months from now? I can only listen to God 1 week from a time. And even then, I don't always hear him the way I want to hear him. You know, you can't just manufacture this. This isn't just a bunch of speeches you're putting together. You need to have the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit with the Word of God works together to speak the apostolic teaching that we all need to hear. But if we put them in a box or if we think that we can prescribe this in some way, then it just becomes a lecture. There's no power in it. There needs to be power. There needs to be the passion. There needs to be the passion that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Right? We need that. That's and I know, you know, I can tell you without beyond any shadow of a doubt that the apostles, because I've read what they said here in the Word, that they had a passion for Jesus. They had a passion for the Lordship of Christ and for the church, and they had a willing desire for the power of the Spirit. Man, they just desired the Spirit. You've read this, right? You've read this. You know that's true. It's not about words. It's not about what's black and white on a piece of paper. It's how the Holy Spirit moves through the power of God, through His Word, and through His Spirit. Amen? So there's a lot of teaching that really isn't truth. You need to be aware of that. And you need to be aware of it. Ugh, slow that down. You need to be aware of it if you think that's happening in me. You have the responsibility to listen to what's being said and to measure it according to what God's Word says. And if I'm not speaking the truth, you don't just walk out of here and go, well, it's Pastor Stan, he's a good guy, he's been pretty good for all these years, it must be the truth. Man, you have a responsibility to know the Word, and if I'm wrong, you should tell me. My job, I've told you this, and I told this to my friend the other day too, is I only have one job in my gift, and that's to tell the truth. It isn't my job to change you. It isn't my job to make you obedient. It isn't my job to get you fired up or do this or do that. I just have one thing that God asks me to do. He says, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Just tell them what my Word says and apply it to their lives. Amen? Okay, so I'm leaving you with that responsibility because you have it. We're the body. We don't follow Pastor Stan. We follow Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The second thing that they devoted themselves to was fellowship. And it's interesting that it's the second thing on the list, which oftentimes was the list, really was a list of importance, the things that, you know, we need to do first, second, and third. You'd think that fellowship would be fourth on the list. It's not that important. It's sort of the social part of church, right? I mean, come on, it's not prayer. It's fellowship. It's kind of like recess, you know, when you were going to school, right? It's hard to take fellowship seriously, right? I mean, why? We don't really need this. It's just sort of nice to have sometimes. But that's not true. And it points out how much we absolutely need fellowship. We need each other. We need to get together. We need to join and to get to know one another. There's fellowship is so important. And again, I said this earlier, but this is where I was going with that. There's so many churches. The church today is a place of anonymous people. And we've made it that way. Churches are designed so that we can all be anonymous. You come into church and you find your place. No one knows you. You are a blank face. And when you do that, there's no fellowship. We need to know each other. I need to know Teresa. I need to know Mark's heart. Right? I need to know Frank. We need to know each other. The fellowship, it's so vital. It's so important. And we should stop thinking that it's peripheral. It isn't. It's central. It is central to the heart of the church of Jesus Christ. We've got to stop being anonymous. And this is going to be hard to hear for some of you. I mean, some of you I don't know. And that's partly my fault. We need to be known, okay? You have a responsibility to put yourself out there to some degree. And I know we're all different, and some people are more shy than others. But you can't just keep running out of here and getting in your car and heading somewhere else, you know. We need to take the time to get to know each other and recognize how important that is. You need to be willing to let us get to know you. Is that okay? Do you understand that? That's how fellowship really begins and is formed. That word fellowship, it's a word koinonia. They had everything in common. They shared, you know, they had fellowship together. They shared with one voice. They had one purse. They shared what their needs were in common. But to do that, you got to be willing to kind of come to the table and say, okay, here I am. This is me. And the truth is some of us don't want to do that. We want to be anonymous. We want to run away. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to put ourselves right there and say, okay, here, this is me. For better or for worse, this is what I'm like, and I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. We used to live in a time, and believe me, it wasn't that many years ago. Well, maybe it was, for me, it wasn't that many years ago. You know, 50 years ago, if you went to church, you knew everyone that you went to church with. You were on some little corner in the town, or more likely you were in the county, in the country, and you got together with all the other people who, they went to church because they lived by the church, right? And your friend was the one who lived a quarter of a mile down the road because she lived a quarter of a mile down the road. You know, that was just the only friend you could have. You went to church and you have suppers after church, and we're doing that more and more. We need to keep doing that. But, you know, people would bake pies and they would eat together and they would break bread together. Nowadays, we don't even know how to make a pie. I know some of you do, but we go to Tim Hortons and we buy a box of Tin Bits. And we say, here's fellowship. And I'm not saying you can't have fellowship with Tim Hortons, but it's hard. What I am saying, though, is it's harder today. It's harder today. We have a relationship today, not so much with people. We're living in a real different time, I think. We have a relationship today with that fruit that fell off of the tree. The Apple iPhone, the Apple iPad, the Apple TV, right? And there's one more. But you know, that we have a relationship. Our relationships today are a lot more with our little gadgets than we are with people. We spend time with our gadgets. We have it in front of our face all the time. I mean, I got kids and I want to talk to them sometimes, and they're just doing it. Even when I'm phoning them sometimes, I know that they're, you know, talking to someone else at the same time they're talking to me, and they celebrate their, you know, ability to multitask. But I just want to talk to you. You know, I just want you to put that thing away and listen to me. I want a relationship with you. And I'm saying to you this. I'm saying that that's one of the problems that we're facing. I'm trying to apply this word to our church and to our lives today. And it's that stuff is getting away. That phone that I have gets in the way of my relationship with you, because I don't have time for you. I'm just doing all this other stuff. Matt's funny. All right, Matt. You understand? Like, and with that fellowship that we're talking about, that breaking bread together is so vital, so important. You know, we talk about coming to clean the church, and I think cleaning the church, coming together next Saturday, will be the second benefit that happens. You know what I'm saying, right? Coming together, and you know how I love to clean. I can't wait to get here. But, you know, the dusting of the walls and all that stuff, that'll be the second thing that's important. The most important thing will be that we'll laugh together, that we will celebrate together, that we will joke together. I said it earlier, and I, you know, you got such a great laugh, and I was listening, I was praying before the service. I could hear you laughing, I could hear other people laughing, and I'm in part of my mind is going, okay, we got to get started here, it's quarter after, I got to get moving here, I got to get everyone, we got to sing, and finally God just said, wait a minute, you're going to preach about how important fellowship is, and then you're going to just, you know, cut it off. Just take a chill pill, Stan. Just sit there for a while. Let them laugh. And I looked out the window, and people were hugging, and people were joking, and there was laughter happening. Man, that is so vital. We need to be crazy sometimes. And we have some crazy people here. Right? Yeah. You're one of them. We need to be crazy sometimes. We need to just have fun. Just have a great, fun time. You know, there was a gathering of some people not too long ago. They hired Gaston's house for a birthday party. Hired a square dance caller. I think that's a great idea. We should have a whole church picnic and have a square dance caller, and we should just dance together, because you know what? I'll get to know you a lot better if I'm doing an Allemande laugh with you. We need that. We need to be, it's okay to be crazy. It's okay to be fun. You know what? When we laugh together, real fellowship for me happens sometimes. When I have laughed so hard with you until we've cried, there's something, there's a bond there, buddy, I'll tell you. And we need that. And instead of being straight-laced, I'm Christian, and I read the Bible, and it is authoritative. You know, all that's great, but God gave you a sense of humor. He gave you a heart to connect with someone else, right? Yeah. And I love what Tim did when he did it. I don't know where that came from, and he did this to you, and he shined your head. Like, to me, that's the stuff that builds us up so that we realize, you know what, we got something special here. And that is as spiritual a thing that happens than anything else. It's spiritual. It joins us together. We're one in the Lord. We laugh together. I'm going to laugh with you until I cry with you. And I'm going to get to know you, because that's what it's about. But you need to be willing to join me in that. You got to come out. You got to be there. You got to put yourself out there. And I know this is really hard for some people in particular. It's really hard to do. You're very shy. We don't all do this the same way, but please let us get to know you, because you are precious and you're important here, really important. They devoted themselves to fellowship. It wasn't just a peripheral thing. They made it happen. They got into each other's houses and they ate together. They broke bread together. They laughed together. They messed around and just had a fun time together. I told you that I've said this story before, but this is one more example of craziness. But, you know, someone gave me a bag of pistachios at Christmas time. And I waited for like a month. I waited till the end of January. I thought, okay, now I'm going to enjoy those pistachios. I've been waiting for them. I opened the bag and poured them out, and the person who gave them to me had eaten the middle, or, you know, the pistachio part out of every one of them. He put all the shells back in, and he tied it up nicely, and he gave it to me. That's fellowship. It really is. That's what we need. Amen. Amen. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. You can be connected here. That's the message, okay? You do belong here, even though you might not feel it. It doesn't matter about feelings. Don't let your feelings, you know, don't trust your feelings, because they're not true. The enemy uses your feelings. He'll tell you, oh, you don't belong here. You know, you're not kooky enough. Or or he'll tell you there might be a better place for you to go to, and I'm not saying there isn't, but don't listen to him. You belong here. And there are so many people out in the world, they're out there, they don't belong to anything. Here's what we do have. We belong to each other because of the Spirit who lives in us. And I'm going to stop at this point. We're going to pray, and then we're going to do the third thing. They devoted themselves to apostolic teaching, to fellowship, and then they devoted themselves to the Word of God. And I'm going to ask if this family today, these wonderful people, Bonnie and Anna and Jim. Sorry, Jim. If you guys will stand behind there and serve us today, okay? And I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Thank you, God. We just devote ourselves to you and to each other today. And as we come to your table, we remember and believe that you are the risen Christ. We believe that your blood is sufficient, that you've poured it out for us. And as we stand in this circle and as we experience the unity of partaking from one loaf of bread, we stand united together. We are one in the Lord, one in the Spirit. Build us up, God. Make us a fellowship that everyone fits in and everyone belongs. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We come to taste that you are good. Taste and see that I am good. We do that today. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your word. And just let it penetrate our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we often do, I'm going to invite you to make a circle. Make a circle. We're going to sing a couple songs. And then as you make your circle, come on by, or I guess first of all, come and pick up the bread and the juice, and then stand in a circle around the chairs, all right?
God is so good. God
our voices.
God is so good. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Amen. He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. He is Alpha and Omega. He is your Savior. He's your God. And if you're careful today, and if you just look at it and ponder it, you'll see that the message is really clear. I am coming soon. Before we take and eat and drink, I know we do this sometimes after, but today we do it before. What does this mean to you? And when I ask you that question, I'm not asking something about you, okay? I'm asking something about Jesus and God and what He's done. What does this mean to you? And just as we're doing that, would you go and get the kids? I want the kids in here too. Just ask Crystal and the children. All the children are going to come in. What does this mean? Peace. Sorry? New life, baby. New life. Everything. Yeah. He made the way. Yeah, there would be no other way, right? Other than Jesus. Renewal. Do you need renewal? Yeah. You got it. Amen. Say it again. Restoration. I love that word because He doesn't throw the junk away. He restores it. I throw things away. There's that file 13, you know. He says, no, that is worth restoring. I'm going to redeem it. What does this mean? Belonging. I like that. What else? This is my hope. And it's freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For this generation and for the next generation. Amen? Isn't this great? Look at this. This is the future potter's hands. Someone's got to take over this thing, so that's good. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Paul said, now lives in you. What was that, Mo? Peace in our minds. Yes, thank you. What's that? Faith. That's right, Gord. That's right. It says that we can't please God unless we come to Him with faith. Even if it's just a little bit, just enough for a mustard seed, just come. Amen. We've got time for a couple more. Say it. His power. Ooh. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. I told you we're going to be crazy. This is crazy. We should be crazy about this. We should be excited about this. Yes. Woo! We have every reason to celebrate, right? Because there's power in the blood, right? Listen to me. The rest of the world, they need drugs and they need booze to celebrate. They can't get happy otherwise. I don't need that stuff. You don't need that stuff. We got the Holy Spirit, right? We should be more alive. We should be more on fire than they ever are, because what we have is real. This is the real lasting power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking too much. Whew, get me going here. He's our source of joy. Good segue. The bread from heaven? I like that. Yeah. I will never leave you. Listen, God says that. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. This is the bread. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, He met with His disciples, and He broke the bread, and He said, "This is my body and I give it to you. Take, eat, remember, and believe that Jesus Christ gave his life for you. Thank you. And this is the new covenant in my blood, he said. You know what this is? This is life. Some of you know that I have a son whose name is Cain, and you wonder why I called him, or why we called him Cain. Some people think his name is Can. Again, it's not Can, it's Cain. Cain means life. And this is what this is about. It's life. Take and drink and remember that this is the new covenant. Remember this, your sins are forgiven. He doesn't even remember them anymore. And as you drink, remember that you are a new creation in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You say, praise God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all the gifts that you've given us. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to just lead you in a prayer, and then we'll end with a song. You can do what you want to do. But let me say this, though. If you need prayer today, don't run away. We're here to pray. All right? Let's end this. Let's conclude by thanking God. We thank you, Lord, for this meal. Thank you, Jesus, for being here. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for your blood. And that we can, with all confidence today, proclaim that we are forgiven. That there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, God, today you'll build us up in the fellowship of believers. And that we will stand with one voice, proclaiming your goodness today. And finally, God, finally, Jesus, we just say, come quickly. We know you're coming. And we await that great and glorious day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. When I come to die, oh, and I
come to die, when I come to die.